It's an Adam Allen Heath show. I feel like this is the least frequent trio on the podcast.
Well, we're working on that.
Well, here we go. Scott's out for the next 2 days. Heath is filling in. What's up, Heath?
Everything is awesome.
Apparently. We're going to start, before we get into the Royals, let's start with a few quick questions. Rest of season, Rougned Odor or Robinson Cano?
Rookie. Rookie of the year.
That's good.
Yeah.
Really? Okay, yeah. Quite a weekend.
It's not really an indictment on Cano, because I'm very encouraged by the recent power display, but I still think Rugi's the guy. He's got a power bat of his own.
3 home runs in his last 4 games for Rougned Odor, 4 multi-hit games in his last 5 games, and he's still 20% available. All right, rest of season, Ian Desmond or Johnny Peralta?
Jahani.
Is Ian Desmond back?
I'm not convinced at all. And in fact, I actually dropped him to, I think, 8th in my shortstop rankings behind Peralta. So I need to see a bit more to think that Desmond is back.
Heath, what do you think? 3 home runs in his last 4 games?
Well, I think he's on the road back. I mean, and he's been so, so bad. I'm going to have a hard time ranking him any higher than what Al just said at any point the rest of the year. But yeah, I think he's maybe at least playable again.
Rest of season, Royals or Cardinals?
I'm going to have to say Cardinals.
Oh, you want me to really answer?
Yeah. What do you think, honestly?
Well, I mean, the Cardinals, let's listen. The Cardinals were 3 games better than the Royals so far this year before the Royals got Johnny Cueto. Is Johnny Cueto worth 3 games the rest of the way? Probably not.
Well, that's not the question. It's not who's going to finish with a better record. It's going to be who's going to have a better record from July 27th on.
Right. Yeah. I would say probably the Royals. I mean, what else am I going to say?
It's really, really hard. I still think, even with Cueto, the Cardinals have superior rotation. And, I think that the superiority outweighs whatever superiority the Royals have offensively.
Well, this brings us right into our tweet of the day. It's from Kevin Kloss. Worryometer on how insufferable Heath will be on Monday after the Cueto trade.
Worryometer? This
yeah.
is a good
for,
time to do it.
For
yeah.
me, it was like an 8.
I'm going to say 6.
Okay.
I'm going to say that was not the tweet of the day I didn't think. I thought the tweet of the day came on Friday from Josh Clemens.
What did he
say?
Dude,
you are so mean to Heath that makes me uncomfortable listening to the podcast. Do one of your cats like him better?
Yeah, people think I don't like you, Heath. I like you very much.
I thought that was the tweet of the day. My worryometer is 0, though. How could I be insufferable?
Oh, gee, I don't know.
I don't think I've ever been insufferable.
Well, we're going to welcome everybody to the show now, and Heath's on cloud 9, and it makes sense. Obviously, we'll talk about the Cueto trade on this Monday morning, getting ready for week 17, I believe. I never know because I have 10-day weeks in some of my leagues, so I think it's week 17 for most of you. Email us at fantasybaseball@cbsi.com and put baseball podcast in the subject line. We got some weekend standouts, most added and dropped, who we added, Cole Hamels, no-hitter. DFS a little bit later. First, we'll start with the trades, though. There were 2 over the weekend. Cincinnati traded Johnny Cueto to Kansas City for left-handed pitchers Brandon Finnegan, John Lamb, and Cody Reed. Value up, down are the same for Cueto, who actually, believe it or not, has been better in Cincinnati than away from Cincinnati throughout his career.
Still value up for Cueto. Part of, just to deal with the home road splits and park factor thing with Cueto, how he's been better at home is a higher strikeout rate at home, but as you would expect, also a higher home run rate. I would think that there's probably a comfort factor there, and once Cueto gets accustomed to Kauffman, that his strikeout rate will be just fine there. So, yeah, it's a better park, it's a better offense, it's a better defense, and a better bullpen.
It's a better offense, huh?
Yeah. Yeah, they're scoring more runs, so they've been scoring more runs per game than the Reds.
I don't know how they're doing it.
It's witchcraft and magic and everything wonderful. Yeah. The only thing I worry about with Cueto is I do think the strikeouts probably go down because he has to face 9 hitters a game now instead of 8.
That's a good point.
So all I would not be surprised if the strikeouts go down a little bit.
Cueto's Cueto, and good trade for his owners and good trade for the Royals. The three players that are back for Cincinnati, Finnegan, Lamb, and Reed, are they interesting in dynasty formats?
I think they're all three are interesting in dynasty formats. I think John Lamb in particular is pretty interesting in NL only leagues because I'm thinking probably within a couple weeks he'll be in the Reds rotation.
Yeah, he should be.
Okay. The Dodgers have reassured Yasiel Puig that he won't be dealt, according to John Heyman. Meanwhile, the Mets went out and made a trade. They got Juan Uribe and Kelly Johnson from Atlanta.
I was so mad about this.
Why? In exchange for minor league pitchers John Gant and Rob Whalen. So Uribe and Kelly Johnson go from the Braves to the Mets. Why were you mad, Heath?
Because the rumors before this trade happened had the Mets trading for another pair of platoon players that I want to see get traded at the deadline.
And that was? Those were?
Ryan Rayburn and David Murphy, who together have been like the third or fourth best DH in baseball.
Interesting.
But anyway, I digress.
Yeah, does this trade have any fantasy impact?
Just a moderate. I don't really think it does for Uribe at all, but for Kelly Johnson, I would imagine probably a little bit more regular playing time.
Yeah.
And, you know, particularly he had a DL stint earlier in the year, and prior to that, he was really on a nice little power surge. So I do think he could be a decent power source going forward.
There are two things that I could be insufferable about today, Adam.
Okay.
One is that my magic number in the podcast listeners league is down to one.
Okay. What else?
Also, we have a game we play in the office every single Monday, and it's called Are You Guys Giving Up on the Indians Yet? Because everyone has basically refused to give up on the Indians thus far in the office. You know, Al and Scott both picked the Indians to finish above the Royals, and Chris, at the All-Star break, picked the Indians to win the World Series.
Yeah, I don't know what Chris was thinking there. I think Chris was just searching for something. Like, I caught him off guard with the question or something.
Yeah, so Al, 7 games under 500, 14 back in the division, 6.5 back of the wild card. Are you giving up on the Indians, or do we get another hashtag with that rotation?
Hashtag with that rotation. Well, usually you do it Adam Azer style and you ask us to grade it on a 10-point scale. Am I right?
I think we've done that before. I've used several different,
So, no, I mean, on the yes, no, pass, fail version, I have not given up on the Indians.
Oh, wow.
But,
wow.
Give me a break. They're in last place.
If 10 is totally giving up, I'm at about an 8 now.
They just got swept by the White Sox.
Yeah.
And that is why. Because before, I think last time you asked me 1 to 10, I think I probably said like 3 or something like that. I'm up to an 8 now.
Okay. All right. Good. He's coming around.
You need to win.
He's coming around. And the Mets called up Michael Conforto on Friday just after our podcast, and he's 46% owned. He had 2 hitless games and then the Saturday game where everybody mashed. Conforto went 4 for 4. He has 2 doubles in 3 games, 2 walks and a strikeout. Okay, so what do you think about Conforto, guys? How eager should people be to add him? And a lot of people already have added him, 46% owned.
Yeah, I think at this point that number needs to freeze right there. Because I don't see him as a 12-team mixed league guy. There's doubles power, which we've already seen. Could hit for a decent average, but you know, he's making the jump from double A. He's not, I'm trying to think of who to compare him with. I mean, you know, certainly like, you know, when Joey Gallo came up.
Well, Sano,
yeah, I don't put him in the same category with a lot of the prospects that have been called up. Not at this point.
Well, it just seems like the Mets kind of rushed into this and they're not committing to keeping him up. You know, they might deal for an outfielder. Kelly Johnson can play the outfield.
Yep.
Kadire will be back eventually.
And even with Johnson and Uribe in the lineup, I just don't think there's enough there to help out, you know, a young guy who's coming up from double A and really, you know, keep it a kind of a low pressure situation for him. So I'm not rushing out to pick up Conforto.
Would you drop, let's say, a Shin-Soo Choo for Michael Conforto?
I would not.
No.
No. Would you drop, if you're not going to drop Choo, Jimmy Paredes?
No.
No, I wouldn't. Getting closer.
And Al doesn't even like Jimmy Paredes.
Yeah.
I dropped Paredes. He sat each of the last two games. They're shuffling their batting order. Seems like they might be tired of him.
Yeah, they're shuffling, but they've shuffled him out. They've shuffled him back in. And in the league where I'd want to pick up Conforto, Paredes still has value should he find his way back into that mix, which I think he will.
Okay. Big news for you. Dustin Pedroia back on the DL with a hamstring injury. Three players have returned. Corey Dickerson, Anthony Rendon, and Freddie Freeman. Do you feel good starting all three of these guys?
I do.
All right. Matt Wieters started practicing at first base. They might get him into the lineup at first base, which would be good news both for him and Caleb Joseph if you need a catcher.
Not Chris Parmalee.
No. And now Wieters did miss yesterday's game. He had a minor injury, but he should be back today. Jose Abreu says his thumb is no longer sore. Sometimes these guys play through injuries. We don't know about it. He says his thumb's healthy now, so hopefully good. He can turn it around. He's got a nice matchup today against Joe Kelly, who can't get righties out. Jaime Garcia is going to either start on Tuesday or Wednesday for St. Louis. So that means Cooney will be out?
Yeah, in fact, I think he was already optioned.
I thought so, too. All right. D. Gordon could return on Tuesday. Randall Grichuk autocorrected on my phone to Randall Grouchy. So maybe the phone.
I thought maybe you were trying to make a statement here.
No, the phone must have known that he left yesterday's game with a minor groin injury. So he's a little grouchy right now, but they're calling it minor. Keep an eye on Grichuk Grouchy.
Should we solicit an all autocorrect team?
Well, we had Kyle Schwarzenegger for Kyle Schwarber and Randall Grouchy. Those are my two best this year. But yes, please. Any good autocorrects? In fact, that could be our FanDuel giveaway today. More on that in a little bit. Adam Lind, keep an eye on him. He missed yesterday's game with a back issue. Willy Peralta is going to return to the Milwaukee rotation on Tuesday. Do we know who's out?
Nobody.
Really?
Six man for now,
but if Kyle Loesch has a bad one tonight, we'll see. Steven Strasburg is going to make a rehab start on Wednesday. I'd like Joe Kelly to have a few more starts.
Or Joe Ross?
Yes, I would like Joe Kelly to have fewer starts, actually. But Joe Ross, I would like to have more starts, yes. All right, FanDuel. We actually have Heath here.
Yeah.
So Heath can help us out with DFS. He's our DFS guy. But, you know, that's coming on later in the show. Right now, I'll remind you to go sign up on FanDuel right now. Play today. Win tonight. If you're out of it, all right, let's say you're, you know, 5 wins so far, and you're probably not going to make the playoffs, and there are so many Heath Cummings-like teams in your league that are just so good. Well, FanDuel, you're never out of it, because it's a new season every single day. So get on there now and use our offer code CBSPOD, and when you use that offer code, FanDuel is going to match your first deposit dollar for dollar up to $200, and that'll get earned as you play. Additionally, we have the FanDuel.com/CBSPOD league for you. So you want to join that, compete against us. It's a tournament, 150 people, Monday through Friday, only $2 to enter. And today we're giving away 5 entries, not into that contest, but 5 entries into the MLB Squeeze. 5 free entries, MLB Squeeze. Tweet me at Adam Azer with your best autocorrects. And don't lie, make them real. Best fantasy baseball autocorrects, tweet me at Adam Azer. You get 5 free FanDuel entries into the MLB Squeeze.
Or right. Lie and just don't tell us you're lying.
Yeah, you can do that too. But we'll know. Who'd you guys add and drop? Big adds and drops for you this weekend.
Yeah, not a lot, really. Guy I probably pursued most aggressively was Tyler Saladino. And even have him in a 12-team mixed roto league now. And pitching-wise, I actually found myself buying Wade Miley, which... something I wouldn't have predicted three days ago.
Really? Gross.
Well, not as gross as you might think.
What kind of league?
Well, including our podcast league.
Ew, gosh, really? Gross.
Yeah. well, you're in the podcast league. Do you make a trip to the waivers at some point to pick up two-star pitching?
I didn't because I like my pitching staff, so.
Okay. Well, that's fair, but, there was a really limited number of two-star pitchers that I wanted to pursue. And in a league of that depth, most of them were gone. Mm-hmm. But it isn't just simply a matter of, well, I need to pick up somebody, so I'll pick up Miley because he's there. He's actually, since about mid-May, been decent.
Yeah.
Not great, but decent. And for a two-start week, decent is good enough.
Okay.
He's got an ERA in the mid-threes since then. You know, not allowing very many extra base hits. And the real clincher here is that he's facing, I think it's the White Sox and the Rays. They were really
great
matchups.
Okay, I somewhat rescind my ill. I just get nervous about guys who I feel like could have terrible starts.
Yeah.
You know?
It's definitely with a little bit of nerves. But, again, not really great options out there. So he was a big pickup for me.
Heath, big
I'm more in the mode of dropping players than picking players up right now, because I did have a lot of Rendon and Dickerson, and so I'm having to get those guys back in my lineups, and so I'm dropping guys. I haven't really added anybody all weekend, and I don't know that I will. I mean, I don't have a lot of guys that I want to get rid of.
No. Oh, what a lucky man.
Well, I mean, it's just the situation I find myself in. I am 6 points back of you now in the Roto Real Draft.
Yeah, I had a big week.
But I'm hoping that Rendon and Dickerson will make that up in a hurry.
Hmm. Well, that sucks. I didn't know you had them. That's a shame for me. But, yeah, all right, I had a busy weekend adding and dropping people. Chris Tillman, I added him. He had a good start against the Rays. It wasn't a great start, but we've talked about this. This guy's a second-half pitcher. And so far, so good after the All-Star break. Patrick Corbin, 10 strikeouts in 7 innings. And he did that in less than 100 pitches. They're still kind of limiting him, but who would you guys rather own, Corbin or Tillman?
I'd rather have Corbin.
Heath?
Tillman.
I think for this week, I like Tillman better, and I don't remember. It must have been a matchups thing. But long-term, I would rather have
Corbin. Tillman's really only been bad against the Blue Jays. He's been a pretty good pitcher this year, except for the charge against the Blue Jays.
Joe Ross, I did add. So what do you guys think about adding Joe Ross? He's 34% owned, and he had a quality start. He gave up 3 runs in 6 innings, but again, a good strikeout performance. And I just think with Pfister's struggles, it's possible that he can stay.
Yeah, I agree. I think that ownership rate is a little too low right now. So, you know, even just in leagues where you might be able to use him for a week or two, I think he's worth a pickup.
What about Kevin Gausman at 33% owned, 2-start pitcher against Atlanta and the Tigers?
Yeah, it's interesting because in leagues where I tried to pick him up, I think he was already spoken for.
Yeah, I own him in the Roto Real Draft.
Yeah.
I'm going to start him, I think.
But yeah, he was one of a handful, like 4 or 5 two-start pitchers that I really had any kind of interest in picking up.
Taylor Youngman is a guy I added. I added Michael Conforto, just taking a shot on him. Ender Inciarte I added in a Roto League. And again, he's batting leadoff, not every day, but he's going to bat leadoff. He can steal some bases.
Yeah, he shouldn't be available in a Roto League, I don't feel like.
Melky Cabrera I added in our podcast league. And Zach Godley I added in a couple of leagues. Going to sit on that one, just see what happens. But the quotes after that game convinced me that he's worth stashing if you can afford it. Zach Godley. Such a good major league debut. And guys, I dropped. I actually dropped Gausman in one league, but I still own him in a few others. Kyle Gibson. I knew it was going to be a tough week for him. I think he had the Angels and the Yankees. So maybe I'm overreacting, but I don't really see Gibson as a must-own anyway. What about you, Al?
No, not must-own, but I would say not somebody to drop either if you did pick him up before. I mean, in a shallow league, sure, but 12 teams in bigger. I think he deserves a little bit more of a chance.
Vince Velasquez, Kendall Graveman, Jimmy Paredes, dropped them. Cody Anderson I dropped just for guys with more upside, I think, for Corbin. And Eduardo Rodriguez I dropped before last night's start, but I'm still not getting back on that bandwagon. Not yet.
Yeah, I'm allowing myself to be yo-yoed by Eduardo Rodriguez because that was pretty impressive last night.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah, he's obviously had big ups and big downs so far. So, I felt like I was on the verge of letting him go, but I'm glad I didn't.
So let's see what the listeners and the CBSSports.com users are doing as we take a look at the most added and dropped players on CBSSports.com. And it appears number one is loading. It's Michael Conforto. Joe Ross is 2. Preston Tucker is 3. You definitely want to keep an eye on lefty-righty there with Preston Tucker. He's really good against righties, not so great against lefties. Randall Grouchy Grichuk is number 4. Rougned Odor is number 5. Mike Leake is 6. Matt Latos is 7. Jung Ho Gong is 8. Nola, 9. Tillman, 10. I like that. Schwarber, 11. Castellanos, 12.
Anything I would say the out? First 8 or 9 players here could argue are still underowned. The one exception I would make to that is Leake, but it's understandable. He's owned in 77% of leagues because he does have a 2-start week. Well, should have a 2-start week coming up, although I think it was John Fay of the Cincinnati Inquirer said that he expects that Leake will be the next Red to be traded. So you might wind up being disappointed.
Yeah.
But it's understandable, especially with the limited 2-start options that are you know, viable.
All right. Now, Castellanos is 12th here, and he's having a nice stretch. I can look up the numbers here for Nick Castellanos. He has 4 home runs in his last 6 games. 33% owned, now 34% owned, actually. Anybody buying into Nick Castellanos?
I cannot.
Yeah, not yet. I think he's the kind of guy, you know, Adam, you talk about, like, who was it, Godley, you know, you picked up and just kind of sit on his performance for a week and see how it goes. I could see doing that with Castellanos in a deeper league, and you can get him in a deeper league, given that he's only owned in about a third of our leagues. Because he's young, he's got upside, but it's too early for me to say that. Yeah, I'm buying in that the breakout is happening right now.
You got 3 pitchers. You know, we'll take Leake out of the equation. We talked about him. 2 pitchers who are owned in about the same amount of leagues. Matt Latos, 66% owned. Aaron Nola, 71% owned. Do either of these guys strike you as under-owned, and they are 1-star pitchers this week?
Latos, for sure. Nola, I only hesitate just because I just don't like the situation there with the Phillies. And probably for that reason more than any other, I would prefer Latos. Now, I don't know who he'll be pitching for this time next week. I doubt it'll be the Marlins. But I imagine that, you know, wherever Latos goes, he'll probably have a better shot at getting run support. And he's just been very good since coming off the DL.
And Matt Shoemaker is on the most added list. We cautioned you on Friday. Al, correct me if I'm wrong, but with Jared Weaver close to returning, Shoemaker is not guaranteed a 2-start week, is he?
No, he's not. Although it seemed like when we talked about it on the podcast on Friday, I was under the impression that Weaver's return was more imminent than it appears to be now.
Okay.
So there's risk, but I think there's a good chance you get both of those starts from Shoemaker.
On the most drop list, tell me if you guys disagree with any of these. Brian Johnson, Matt Moore, Kendall Graveman, Brandon Beachy, Brett Anderson, who's actually starting on Tuesday, Yordano Ventura. It's that one day in the minors. Turn things around. Kyle.
He never even got there.
Oh, that one day they were supposed to be the minors. So again, Johnson, Matt Moore, Kendall Graveman, Brandon Beachy, Brett Anderson, Yordano Ventura, Kyle Gibson, Brock Holt, Tommy Malone, Eduardo Rodriguez.
I mean, I understand why Yordano's on that list because he got sit down, I guess, but I mean, after his performance yesterday, you have to figure he learned his lesson, right?
Exactly. No, so, but seriously, what are your expectations for Ventura rest of season?
I expect an ERA in the mid to upper threes with somewhere around 7 strikeouts per 9 and probably a pretty decent win total.
I'm expecting less than that, but would certainly not rule out what Heath is.
And when I say mid to upper threes, I'd lean more upper, but his, yeah. I mean, you look at him, his FIP last year was 3.6. His FIP this year is 3.56. He's the same guy. I expect what he gave us last year.
So would you rather have Ventura or Latos?
I'd rather have Ventura.
I'd much rather have Latos. And that said, I mean, there are several pitchers that you rattled off the names of. Ventura, Gibson. I thought there was one other.
Matt Moore, Graveman, Beachy, Anderson.
Well, I guess it's, unless I'm, oh, and Rodriguez, maybe you didn't get him on the list.
Rodriguez,
but
yeah.
Those three are all pitchers that I think do deserve more of a chance, but their ownership levels, even after being dropped in a lot of leagues, are still, I think, pretty much about where they should be. So I think it's a case of each probably being over-owned before, but I don't think going forward that they should be dropped.
What about Matt Moore? Done with him?
DTM.
Not DTM, but, you know, drop. I could see dropping him and keeping an eye on his next start.
Oh, here's an interesting one on the most drop list. Mitch Moreland is down from 76% to 70% owned. He's cooled off a bit, but, boy, he was so good. I just want to look up how many lefties they've faced, because that could be contributing to his mini slump here. Should fantasy owners be more patient with Mitch Moreland?
Because he was, I think, he was one of Scott's players to sit last week because of the matchups. So I think that definitely has a role in his recent numbers, and I can't see dropping Moreland at this point. Now, you mentioned Brock Holt before. I was part of the hordes dropping him.
Yeah, I think he's pretty much going back to what we saw at the end of last year, where he's a pretty bad player, but now he's also a little dinged up, Brock Holt, left yesterday's game with an injury. However, he is shortstop eligible. He's eligible pretty much everywhere except catcher and out in first base.
I think he is first base. Is he?
He's eligible just about everywhere. And now with Pedroia injured, he might still bat second. He might play just about every day. So just because he's shortstop eligible, I could see you hanging. Like, in my 16-team league, I actually might pick up Brock Holt because I've been starting Simeon, and Simeon's just horrible. Sorry, I'm killing time as I look up the Rangers. Do you guys want to talk about weekend standouts? Who fired you up?
I'll talk about one, David Ortiz.
All right.
And not just because of having the two-homer game, but even before that, I was thinking about how, you know, he's not been as good this year, obviously, but still, you know, providing decent power. And I wonder if there's a market in keeper leagues, and I realize now I'm like really constraining this to, you know, probably a small segment of the audience that's in keeper leagues, but guys like Ortiz, Adrian Beltre, there was somebody else, like an older player who's like, or Aramis Ramirez might be another one, older player in decline, but still has something to offer. And if there's some, if there's value to be had in trading a player like that to a contender in a keeper league, win this year. But just know that, you know, you're probably, these guys are probably all falling off the cliff next season.
And Ramirez is retiring, isn't he?
Well, yeah, okay, so he's really falling off the cliff. So maybe not the best example there.
This guy here is dead. Major league quote.
How about A-Rod?
How about A-Rod? Yes.
Three home runs on Saturday. And I think it's kind of, we'll talk about him more later in the show because he had three home runs on Saturday because he was facing a lefty and he just happens to be facing another not good lefty today.
Oh, and he's got a day off, and he's I love him coming off a day off. They rested him yesterday.
Yeah. So I'm just he's getting how far behind Teixeira is he in home runs now?
Oh, I don't know. He's got 23, I think. So
I think my bold prediction was that A-Rod leads the Yankees in home runs, and I thought it would be with like 23 would be enough to do it. But they've got a little more power than we expected.
Well, the better question with him is how far is he behind the big four at third base? And he's still a ways behind, but A-Rod is your fifth best third baseman behind Frazier, Arenado, Machado, and who am I forgetting? Another great third baseman.
Arenado, Machado. Donaldson.
Donaldson, thank you.
Donaldson. Yeah.
So A-Rod is number five and does not seem to be slowing down. And he homered not only off Malone, but he homered off Glenn Perkins
so
to
he's
tie
getting,
the game.
He's getting to 700. We accepted that.
Where is he now?
677.
700 this year?
No.
Oh, yeah. In his career? Yeah, sure.
Okay. Well, I think at the beginning of the year, A-Rod getting to 700 was quite a question.
I'm sure I would have bet against it.
I think it still is. Obviously, the odds look much better now.
23 home runs. He's got 23 this year.
All right, right. Well, Alex Rodriguez has the sorry to cut you off, Al. Alex Rodriguez has the second best on base percentage among third basemen with at least 100 at bats. Do you know who has the most, the best on base percentage?
No.
Justin Turner. I believe that.
How about that?
Yeah.
Let's just can we do a hypothetical?
Yeah.
Let's say he maintains this pace the rest of the year, hits what, 15 more home runs?
Okay.
So he's at 692. And has another year about this, like this next year.
Well, then he would obliterate it.
Gets up into the mid 730 range, something like that. Are you cheering for him to pass Bonds?
Oh, God.
Oh, absolutely. To pass Bonds? Yes.
Are you cheering for A-Rod to break the home run record?
I mean, you can't really ask me. I'm a little biased, but I'm not a huge A-Rod fan. But
I think probably I do, not because of either player, but just because it is fun to see the chase, you know?
Right.
Sorry, I keep cutting you off, Al. Continue, Al.
Yeah, no, I think I would root for that. Here's the thing. I'm cutting you off.
That's fine. Go ahead.
You cut off Azer next. So, I just say that I think it's a question mark still because I just do worry about health. And maybe this is just the last hurrah. And then late this year, early next year, he has some calamitous injury. Yeah.
The other thing I was looking at, I look at the all-time home run list. Albert Pujols, who's having a resurgence this year, he's 4 years younger, allegedly, than Alex Rodriguez.
Yeah.
He's only got to average 30 a year for the next 4 years to be right where A-Rod is.
30 a year is a lot.
It is. Especially 4 years into the future.
Well,
it's interesting.
He's got 30 already this year, doesn't he?
He's got like 29 or something.
Okay.
Who do you think is more hated, Alex Rodriguez or Barry Bonds?
I don't hate either one at all, even an inkling.
Okay, but who do you think is more hated by the general baseball public?
I think it's probably still A-Rod.
I agree.
I think it's Bonds. I think Bonds, like, I feel like A-Rod has a reputation, I think, of like being, well, at least for Yankees fans, he's a good teammate. They seem to like him. Barry Bonds was just kind of a jerk. Right? He didn't want to help people. He just was kind of a grouch. A-Rod just is like a poor soul, I think.
How did you feel when you read the story that the feds were giving up on their prosecution of Barry Bonds?
I think it's ridiculous. Like, he got off scot-free. You can't just lie.
I had a little bit of, yeah, he beat the man in me.
Nah, I don't think so.
You didn't feel that way?
No, I really didn't. You can't just lie when you're under oath and I'm not going to feel great about
it. Maybe he didn't lie.
He did lie.
How do you know?
Well, he gave the
if he lied, wouldn't you think they'd prosecute him? He didn't lie.
He got convicted of obstruction of justice, and then it was appealed, and now he's getting off on it. But what was I saying? He gave that ridiculous answer about his dad being a celebrity athlete. He lied without lying. He might not have spoken a lie, but he avoided the question.
I thought it was dumb that we were ever having hearings about steroids in baseball in the first place.
You know, I kind of agree with you, but if you're gonna testify under oath, whether it's in a court of law or to Congress, you can't lie. And if you lie, you should be punished.
Yeah, because I don't think any congressman ever lie under oath.
Does it matter? Does that justify it? Because congressmen are jerks too, then everybody else is allowed to do whatever they please?
I'm kind of an anarchist, Adam.
Apparently, this is why I hate Heath. Cole Hamels threw a no-hitter. He threw 129 pitches. He struck out 13 Cubs on Saturday. And this was a nice response for him because in his previous 7 starts, Hamels had a 6.10 ERA.
I feel so bad for Cole Hamels. He's not getting traded. He's going to play the rest of his career on terrible Phillies teams.
That's awful. He'll get traded on Tuesday.
No.
Or when is it? Thursday, the deadline?
I think he's going to the Rangers.
I don't think he's getting traded.
When's the deadline? Friday? Thursday?
Ruben Amaro will ask for too much.
Ruben Amaro will just continue to ask for too much and stupidly hold on to him and think, well, we'll trade him in the offseason. And then he won't be able to get what he wants in the offseason. Well, we'll trade him at the deadline next year. And he's just going to keep doing that forever.
Do you guys consider Hamels still to be an ace?
Borderline, yes.
Yeah, I would say, again, that, you know, 10 to 15 range.
All right, Ian Kennedy, over his last 10 starts, has a 2.83 ERA, but 10 home runs allowed, 8 straight starts allowing a home run. So what do you make of Ian Kennedy, who's 66% owned?
He's under-owned. This stretch has gone on long enough. He's not great, but he should be owned in most leagues.
See, you know, Adam very quickly just said, and 10 home runs over that stretch. I am not buying it.
Okay.
He is not under-owned.
Would you rather have Taylor Youngman or Ian Kennedy?
I'd rather have Taylor Youngman.
Ian Kennedy.
Patrick Corbin or Ian Kennedy?
Ian Kennedy.
Patrick Corbin.
Does Chris Bassitt have value for deep leagues? He is in the A's rotation and pitching well.
Yes, AL only.
AL only deep leagues.
How about Carlos Gonzalez? 5 home runs in his last 3 games, batting .377 with 8 homers in July.
He should not be owned in AL only leagues,
but he does have a lot of value.
Yeah, I mean, would you hold or sell at this point for Cargo?
I would hold.
I would hold too. No, I think he's back.
Which Cargo do you like better, rest of season?
Well, there's only one Cargo.
There's
Cargo and Go-Go.
I call Go-Go Cargo as well.
I like Go-Go.
I like Colorado Cargo.
Okay, Go-Go is Carlos Gomez of Milwaukee, for those of you who don't know. Let's spend some time talking about stud starting pitchers who have been struggling. Michael Wacha. Previous 2 starts before Sunday, 11 innings, 10 earned runs. And then Sunday, 6 innings, 5 hits, 3 runs, 3 walks, 5 strikeouts. So that's now over 11 starts and ERA over 4 for Wacha.
It's kind of this weird deal where earlier in the year he had this great ERA, but he wasn't striking anybody else. And then he starts striking people out and giving up runs at the same time.
Yeah, so it is confusing. Like, for example, the previous 2 starts that I mentioned, 11 innings, 10 earned runs, he had 27 swinging strikes in those 2 starts. So what do you make of Waka's struggles?
Hey, I don't know what to make of them, really, but just think, like, a lot of the trends that have gone on with him this year, the lack of strikeouts, that went through a trend where he was giving up a lot of fly balls. I think this one will pass, too, and the peripherals generally look really good for him.
People are frustrated with Corey Kluber. What do you say to those people?
Buy low.
But yep. That Indians rotation.
What's that?
But that Indians rotation.
With that rotation, anything is possible, Adam. They could win 25 in a row and be right back in the wild card race.
This wasn't that bad of a start until the 8th inning. And then it fell apart. I think he went 7+ and was doing pretty well for a while.
Listen. He's striking out 10 batters per 9. He's walking less than 2, and he's got a FIP of 2.5. There's nothing wrong with him.
That's Kluber. Okay. Jason Hamill. So he was battling a little bit of a hamstring injury a few starts ago, and since then he's been really bad. I take that back. He was really bad over the weekend. His previous start, 5 innings, 1 earned run, 3 walks, 4 strikeouts. Not a great one, but not that bad. Anyway, any concerns about Jason Hamill?
I mean, a little bit, just because it does coincide with a physical issue. And I guess just because he's Jason Hamill and he's been inconsistent in his career. A little bit of concern. Like a 4 on the worryometer.
Hamill is a guy that I owned 0% of this year. And he made me look stupid for a while, but I have to kind of feel like I'm not surprised because I didn't think he was as good as he'd been earlier in the year.
I still think Hamill's pretty good, though. If you look at last year, right around this time, when he had gotten traded to the A's, he started struggling. He was terrible for a few starts, and then he was great again. So yeah. Over the last year and a half, take away like 5 starts in Oakland, and Hamill's been a really good pitcher.
Yeah, he has. I mean, he's made me look stupid, like I said, but I don't... I'm not excited about him.
Okay. How about Taijuan Walker?
Yeah, this is one I really don't get. And I tend to think that, because this is now 4 starts in a row where he has not been very good. This last one actually, against the Blue Jays, the best of his last 4 starts. Still getting strikeouts, still not walking anybody. The difference is the fly ball rate and the home run rate. And that was a problem for him earlier in the year. But so I'd buy low if I had a chance, and I definitely would not sell.
Here is the point, I think, where I got a message from one of our podcast listeners that apparently used to get mentioned on the podcast occasionally and hasn't for a very long time.
Okay.
They're upset by that. Can you guess who I'm going to say?
Well, given that's a Mariners theme right now, yes. I think I have about 100% chance of knowing who you're talking about.
Kayla.
It is Kayla, and I wanted to tell her that I think the reason why is she's kind of abandoned us. She doesn't really tweet about baseball or the podcast anymore. She just tweets about Big Brother.
Oh, really?
And we're not really Big Brother fans, although I think a Big Brother episode of Our Office would be pretty hilarious if you just put us all in a house for a weekend. But anyway, I digress. I feel sorry for the Mariners because it doesn't seem like they can really have nice things other than Felix. I think this is who Taijuan Walker is. He has really good starts and he has really bad starts.
He had 7 really good ones in a row.
He did. And he just, it's a roller coaster ride. You can ride it if you like. Hopefully next year he can find some consistency. I don't believe he's going to this year.
All right. Who's worried about AJ Burnett?
Yeah, I am. I have to wonder if he's
really old.
Running out of gas.
Really, really old.
Who's worried about Michael Pineda?
Yeah. That whole trading Santana for him deal doesn't look so smart now anymore, does it?
You traded Irvin Santana and who else for Pineda?
Yasmani Tomas.
Oh, Yasmani Tomas.
And you guys just roasted the guy that
made that trade. I'm sorry. I still like the trade rest of the season.
I hope so. Because Michael Pineda's pretty much been bad since that trade.
Yep, and he is, like I've said this before, Pineda is a guy, when he doesn't have his best stuff, he does not know how to pitch with it, without it. You know, he doesn't know how to gut his way through an outing and be good despite having his inferior stuff. And he had no slider on Friday. Nope. He got roughed up. Carlos Carrasco. Who's worried about Carlos Carrasco? He's got a 4.26 ERA, people.
Hashtag with that rotation.
Right. Well, what do you think? Who's worried?
I don't. I almost feel about Carrasco like I felt about Waka when we were talking about him earlier. Is I'm just confused. Like Corey Kluber, I don't have any issue with him. Danny Salazar, I know what he is. He's really good and he gives up home runs. I don't understand what's going on with Carlos Carrasco, and I don't know that his track record is quite long enough to just assume that he's going to just figure it out.
Well, that's the thing. Yeah, very limited track record of success, but, I mean, really high level of success last year. And then the peripherals have been really good this year, so I think with him you sort of throw out ERA because so much of that ERA now is front-loaded with, you know, what we had been calling for, you know, 3 months. Bad luck. It's telling people to buy low on him. Mm-hmm. And I just think you look at the bad parts of the track record in terms of the peripherals. And if we're going to assume there's a luck factor there, assuming better luck, there's really no reason to worry.
I'll just say the same. I should have just gone to his stats and said the same thing I said about Kluber. He's striking out 10 batters per 9. He's walking less than 2 and he's got a FIP of 2.9.
Okay, so you think he can pitch to a 2.9 ERA rest of season? Do you think that's realistic for Carrasco?
I mean, look, sometimes guys aren't very good at stranding runners. Sometimes guys give up a little too much hard contact when they do get hit. I'm pretty confident that that's not Kluber's problem, and I don't really think it's Carrasco's problem.
Either. On the stranded runners thing, that's interesting because he's at 69.9% strand rate right now. His career is 70.3.
Yeah, those are low numbers, so maybe there's a little more reason to be concerned, and especially because Carrasco spent a good chunk of that in a relief role, right?
Yeah.
Where relievers typically have much higher strand rates.
Actually, no, not at all.
Not at all?
No.
Not a single one? I'm just totally making stuff up here. Oh, no, last year he was a reliever most of the season.
Okay.
Well, no, last year
every year before that, he had like 40 starts and 8 relief appearances.
Okay.
I think he made a number of starts last year. He threw 134 innings, Carrasco.
No, he did. I mean, the last, like, third of the season or so.
Coming into this year, he had 54 starts in his career, and it looks like he had 34 relief appearances.
Okay. All right. I'm gonna speed things up here. Matt Duffy, 72% owned. You guys think he's a viable starter rest of season, Matt Duffy?
I have a hard time believing it. Al, am I wrong?
You're not wrong.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm surprised that he's remained productive this long. Pretty nice game on Sunday, too. But, I'm not sure where the powers come from, and the batting average I definitely do not trust.
Jose Quintana, still only 79% owned.
I'll scream it from the rooftops.
Complete game
shutout. Quintana?
Shut up.
Yes.
Yeah, Quintana is under-owned, and he is legit.
It would appear that way. Justin Verlander had a very good start at Boston. Anyone care?
Not yet. Not yet, I don't.
Agreed, but it's, you know, definitely something worth paying attention to.
I would say this start put him on my radar for I might care if his next couple of starts are good.
Al, did you say that Nate Eovaldi had not given up an extra base hit in July?
That was true through eight innings last night or yesterday.
Came out in the ninth and gave up a double to
so close
to Sano. He just doesn't strike out enough guys, even though got an ERA under three over his last five starts. But
he was very good for the whole month of July. I think we can.
Yeah, 55% own for Eovaldi. What do you think?
I think that's a good ownership percentage for him. Because he's had very good stretches before. I would definitely, a month seems like a long time. I would like to see still a little bit more.
This is a guy that in those dynasty leagues that has not that much value right now, even though he's 10-2, that I really think he's like one pitch away from taking the next step next year. I really think it's a possibility with how hard he throws, upper 90s, the splitter that he's developed. Just seems to be getting better and better, and hopefully the strikeout numbers can come. But it would not surprise me at all if Nate Eovaldi is breaking out next year. Thoughts?
Yeah, it wouldn't surprise me. Still definitely young enough to do it, and yet enough of a track record of inconsistency that there's a part of me that doubts that he ever will.
Could he be like a post-hype sleeper next year?
I don't know. Did he have hype?
That's what I was wondering.
I think he was once in the very lower part of the Baseball America Top 100.
In the bullpen.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's not so much.
Some minor hype.
In the bullpen, we had Jason Mott blowing a save Friday. We had Jake McGee getting a save Friday for some reason.
Why not? Well, the reason is that the Rays bullpen doesn't really have set roles.
It's annoying. And Jerry's Familia, who blew his fourth save, and he's struggled a bit lately. And meanwhile, Henry Mejia has been very good since coming back. What do you think? Should Mejia or should Familia owners be a little concerned?
Yeah, I mean, maybe a little, but I don't really feel like he's probably going to lose his job.
I don't really either, unless Terry Collins just completely overreacts.
Which he could. I mean, that seems kind of like a high-stress situation there, because I don't think that team is good enough to make the playoffs, but they seem to have this expectation that they're fighting for a playoff spot, and then their big move was to trade for a couple of Braves hitters.
Well, so they have a lot of pressure on them to spend because they
get... Supposedly there's more moves, too.
Yeah, they get so much flack for their payroll, which is pretty low, and they're in New York, and they had the whole Madoff thing with their owners, but they're only two games back of the Nationals right now. I don't think anybody could see them winning the division, but I mean, look, with that rotation, they could make the playoffs. You know, they have like a real rotation, not like the Indians. But no, I mean, I think the Mets should go for it a little bit. They get so many layups within their division the rest of the season. It should help them.
It's baseball, not basketball.
All right. Jonathan Neis watched his wife give birth on an airplane on his phone. So,
what?
Yeah. He made a start knowing that she was, you know, ready to give birth. And then after the start, he flew home to be there, but he missed it. So he watched it on FaceTime on his phone.
Wow.
Alfredo Simon expects to make his next start. Trevor Rosenthal got a couple of days off this weekend. He had pitched in three straight games. Drew Smyly began a rehab assignment. Any interest in stashing Smyly?
Yes. Yes, I do.
Yeah, he could definitely have some late value.
He's pitching with a torn labrum.
Yeah.
It's going to be a lengthy rehab assignment, so just keep that in mind.
Probably hurts.
Jed Lowry's on a rehab assignment. Adam Eaton expected to play today. He's a little dinged up. Will Myers had a setback in his recovery from a wrist injury, so that stinks. Nori Aoki could be back today. He might not be the leadoff hitter, though, because Pagan has been very good for the Giants. Brock Holt, knee tightness. Gene Segura had a sore throat and missed Sunday's game. Coco Crisp will begin a rehab assignment today. And Brett Anderson will start Tuesday against Oakland. So we go to some emails and then we'll do DFS. All right. First email. It's from Jason in Morgantown, West Virginia. Dear Carrie, excuse me, Carrie, Saul, and Peter.
No clue. Those Bible characters?
Those are Homeland characters. Homeland.
Okay. Well, I think they're in the Bible as well.
Carrie?
Yeah, Carrie, I'm not sure.
I didn't actually hear the first one. I'm sorry.
Oh, read along. I have Kinsler and Gordon. D. Gordon coming off the DL. What's his trade value? Is Kinsler worth keeping the rest of the year or trade him while he's hot and stick with Gordon? Who has the best upside rest of season? Kinsler or Gordon?
I would say probably Gordon overall. Does he specify if this is?
He does not.
He does not. So, well, I would say if it's a points league, then probably Kinsler, but Roto, Gordon. I think it is a good time to trade Kinsler. Not that I think that he's going to drop off, but he certainly is red hot right now and probably can get very good value for him.
Question from Evaristo. Should I be dropping Taiwan Walker for any of these guys? Joe Ross, Andrew Heaney, Matt Latos.
I would not.
Oh, for Heaney.
Gosh, dropping him.
Yeah.
No, I wouldn't either. I wouldn't. I know Heaney's really good, but I'd be, if it was a very shallow league, I would do it.
And then Evaristo says, also, I agree with Adam on BVP. Helps me set my lineup nicely. And then he put two thumbs up, a smiley face with sunglasses, and a baseball emoji.
Yeah, I don't get emojis on my computer.
I don't either.
Oh, yeah, so. Sorry, guys. Josh in Baltimore says, dear Buck, Joe, and John. I don't know. I have a question about league integrity. 10-team, 8-keeper league, where the top teams trade draft picks for help down the stretch run. Two teams haven't paid attention all year and are being contacted to make trades. Is it wrong as the commissioner to block their trades to keep the balance of the league? I will not be inviting the bottom two teams back next year.
Wow. So basically, these guys are on borrowed time as it is. It sounds like an Expos situation where they're just going, the league's going to take control of the team. You guys are so bad that you're not allowed to make trades?
Well, they haven't been paying attention. I think it would be a little unfair for them to start trading their best players for draft picks when they haven't been paying attention all year.
Yeah, that seems like an extreme move to me. I mean, look, if they make a trade that's clearly not in their team's interest, I think then you veto after the thing is done.
Here's what I've always said about vetoing trades. The only way you can ever veto a trade is if you're prepared to kick someone out of the league.
Which he is.
Sounds like he is, yeah. So I'm okay with it in this situation.
All right, question from Justo. Please choose one this week, and rank them for rest of season. Burnett, Latos, and a two-start Heston for this week.
I'll take Heston.
I'll take Heston for this week, too, and then rank him rest of year. Latos. I'll still go Burnett over Heston for now.
Putting Latos ahead of Burnett. Interesting.
Yep.
Heath, you want to rank those three?
Not really.
But you've been asked to.
I will do it. And I'm going to put Heston ahead of Burnett. And I'm going to put Latos at the bottom.
All right. Question from James. I hope none of you guys have Marcus Simeon on your team. Would you drop Simeon for any of these guys? J.J. Hardy, Eugenio Suarez, Jed Lowry, or Brad Miller?
How close is Jed Lowry to getting back?
Very.
Yeah, and given that, he actually is the one I would want to pick up the most.
Yeah.
I imagine he'll probably play a lot of third base, and I think he's the best hitter out of the group.
Has Marcus Simeon been one of your biggest disappointments of the year?
Definitely.
Yeah.
Question from Paul in Ontario. Hello, Peter, Michael, and Samir. On Friday's show, Scott's subtle Office Space reference was totally missed and was awesome. Kudos, it deserved a laugh for sure. Now listen, Paul, I got flack on this on Twitter for this, for not recognizing the reference. I absolutely recognize the reference. Office Space references don't go unnoticed by me. Now, who the hell are Peter, Michael, and Samir? I have no idea.
Yeah, no, me neither.
I'm just kidding. Those are Office Space characters. That's a joke. Ha 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 ha. All right, anyway, the question from Paul. I'm wondering about Marcelo Zuna and his rest of season projections. He's mashing in AAA. Could he be a good addition if he comes back up? Hello?
I mean, yeah, I think if he comes back up, I guess other than a deep league, I wouldn't, make a speculative pickup right now. But, when he's back up, I think, based on what he did last year, that he could be, you'd certainly want him in a 5-outfielder league.
And two more. Brad in South Carolina. Hey, Michael, Scotty, and Dennis. Yordano Ventura and Carlos Rodon. Should I keep them on my team? I was streaming them.
You know the Michael, Scotty, and Dennis reference, right?
Well, yeah. Then he kind of gives us another hint by asking us a White Sox.
No, those are Office characters. Michael Scott.
Right?
No, it's not. It's the Chicago Bulls.
It's the Bulls. Al, I'm messing with you today. Sorry. Well, anyway, are Ventura and Rodon guys you should stream or keep in a 12-team mixed categories league?
Keep them.
Rodon for sure. Yeah, sure. Keep them.
All right. Finally, we have Mark from Matawan, New Jersey, who is world traveling right now. Dear Craig, John, Randy, and Pedro, I can trade two of the three pitchers.
Are those people that Scott's talked to at an airport?
I can trade two of three pitchers to get Todd Frazier and Josh Reddick. The three pitchers are Salazar, Tanaka, and Archer. Should I do it, and which two should I pick in a head-to-head categories league with on-base percentage and strikeouts per nine? So I guess, would you trade Salazar and Tanaka for Frazier and Reddick?
Yes. Please.
Yeah, I was considering maybe Archer instead of Tanaka.
No way. Are you serious?
Well, I agree with you. That's not the best move. But I thought about it because I think Tanaka's upside is greater. But I'd expect that Archer will have more value rest of the season. So I'm with you guys.
Hey, let's talk FanDuel.
Woohoo!
I didn't think it was such an easy night to pick pitching. Easier to pick hitting.
Yeah.
What'd you think, Heath?
Asking Heath.
Al?
Al's already made his pitcher selection. So, Al, who did you choose as your top?
I know who Al chose.
Night?
Top pitcher is the most expensive pitcher.
I know. Al chose two people. He chose Lance Lynn and Chris Heston.
Oh, you are so wrong. But my tournament lineup initially did have Heston in it.
There you go.
But I found that I could get cheap hitters I really like, and I upgraded. And given this specific matchup, I do view it as an upgrade to get Anibal Sanchez against the Rays.
That's who I got, too.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah. Lance Lynn is the right choice for cash games, for sure. Lance Lynn at home. And you're probably going to get a dejected Reds team, right? I mean, it's official now.
Oh, they're professionals.
We're giving up. Let's all give up together. So yeah, I like Lance Lynn. I like Nate Karns against the Tigers a little bit as a sneaky tournament play.
You all saw who my top stack is, right?
I did not. The Tigers?
Yes.
Okay.
But there's lots of good stacking possibilities.
And then, we talked about him as a two-start pitcher. Well, if you were starting him as a two-start pitcher, it was only because of this start, and that's Kevin Gausman against the Braves.
Yeah. You like Gausman better than Heston?
Well, he's $1,600 less, so, yeah, probably as a tournament play.
All right, listen, we got 9 games tonight.
Uh-huh.
But not a lot of great pitchers, so cheap hitting is readily available.
Right.
I love left-handed Cardinals against Raisel Iglesias. I have Colton Wong at 2,900, Matt Carpenter at 2,800 in my lineup, and I have Johnny Peralta, who's a righty, but he's at 3,000. He's pretty cheap for how good he's been this year. I like the Giants against Kyle Loesch. Hunter Pence is 3,400, and Hunter Pence, not a lot of power in his career against Loesch, but let me just give you the numbers for him if you are interested in BVP. And here it is. Hunter Pence is batting 340 with a 364 on base and a 453 slugging in 53 at-bats against Loesch in his career.
I have Pence in my lineup because, not because of BVP, but because, it's Kyle Loesch.
Yeah, and Pagan is, if he's batting leadoff for the Giants tonight against Loesch, he's 2,200. It's the cheapest price there is. So that's a good option too. Who do you guys like as value hitters?
I think it's strange that you did all that talking and you didn't talk about the game that I like the most to be the highest scoring game of the night.
The Yankees Rangers?
The Yankees Rangers. You can put together almost a full lineup. With Prince Fielder, A-Rod, Chris Young, Mitch Moreland. I mean, there's... And then another thing you didn't mention is our good friend, John Danks, is pitching tonight.
Yeah, I'm not doing it again, Heath.
Oh, yeah, because he had a good start. So
no, because
have another one.
Three of his last four, I think, have been not just good, but really good.
Okay.
And so additionally, he did this last year, where he went on a nice little run. So I'm not sure it's going to end.
I didn't play anybody against him. It's not because I think he's going to be good. It's because I know which Red Sox I really wanted to start.
Well, you can't Mookie? Start Ortiz.
No. Mookie, Bogarts. Bogarts is probably the big one for me. That will be in most only 2,700.
Yeah, and he's four for six lifetime against Danks, I think, Heath.
Oh, well, that just cinches it.
All right. Well, yeah, I need to make a substitution now. Because I would rather have a $2,700 Bogarts instead of a $2,500 Nick Ahmed, for sure.
I think that's a good decision.
Yeah. Heath, very disappointed in you. Two good Royals values tonight.
Well, I've been told that I talk about the Royals too much on the podcast. Well, so let me talk about them. You go ahead.
Kendrys Morales and Mike Moustakas both at 2,600, and they're facing Cody Anderson.
Salvador
Cody
Perez.
Anderson. Oh, my goodness.
Oh, the contact that will ensue.
This is probably this little series coming up with the Indians as Royals is probably where the Indians, with that pitching staff, start to make their run.
Yeah, well, their best pitchers aren't pitching this series. By the way,
Cody Anderson's got an ERA of like one, doesn't he?
Yeah, and it seems like when those pitchers who were on these great runs that we didn't really buy have one bad start, they have another one right after. So this could be the second really bad start for him. Salvador Perez is super cheap too, by the way. He's like 2,300.
He always is.
Yep.
Yeah. All right. A couple more things I want. Oh, Mike Montgomery. Now, if you look at the splits over the season, you're not going to see big lefty-righty splits. But over the last three starts, when he's been touched up a little bit, the righties have gotten to him. So AJ Pollock and Paul Goldschmidt are in my lineup.
That was one of the biggest fights we've ever had on Daily Fantasy Live. It was me and Scott.
I saw that, actually, over
Mike Montgomery.
That was when he got shelled by the Tigers, right?
Yes. Scott was so mad at me for saying that Montgomery wasn't a good pitcher.
And I think third base is extremely interesting today because I think A-Rod's a great play, but Arenado is only 3,500.
What?
What? That's cheap, right?
It's ridiculous, yes.
And he homered yesterday. He had a bit of a hand injury, but he appears to be okay. Chris Bryant is 3,100 facing a lefty, De La Rosa. But De La Rosa's got an ERA under 2 on the road this year, and Bryant and Rizzo have been terrible over basically since the All-Star break.
I love the matchup for Bryant.
Yeah, I know. It's tough. And then I went with Carpenter at 2,800. So third base, you should do well. All right. Anything else, guys?
Well, one more value guy, Nolan Reimold, against Alex Wood. I know not really a bad pitcher, but I do like the matchup against the lefty, and Reimold is $2,200. So you need that $2,200 minimum price player. He's probably my favorite that I've come across so far.
I'm starting to agree with Adam as I dig deeper into. I got in late today, so I hadn't really looked at anything before I came on the show.
About what?
And Colton Wong, Matt Carpenter, both too cheap against Raisel Iglesias.
Yeah, yeah. Iglesias had a decent start last time out, but still, I mean, he's been really bad against lefties, and he's been pretty bad just in general. And they're going to be dejected, right?
Yeah, yeah, I told you. They're all quitting together.
Okay, well, that's it for us. And thank you, guys. And CBS Pod, FanDuel.com/CBS Pod. Join our $2 tournament. Compete against us. And winner gets his team name and team roster read on the air the next day. Goodbye, everyone.
Goodbye.